Well, I had something prepared tonight, and then I happened to leave my Bible in Creston, so I'm going out of Dad's Bible tonight.
But I have been traveling for faith.
So she's pretty excited, and she's been to Alaska. So she's her goal is within the next 5 years to get to all 50. But we've really enjoyed traveling. And so I have all these pictures up to get so people can get to know us and as we go to different places that don't know us. And I always say with the wedding, I say that we had a wedding and we picked a venue without air conditioning. And so if anything, you'll remember the reps that had a wedding without air conditioning. And it was 100 and something degrees out that day. But there's some pictures. I'm going to go through this here. And then I always like to share because it's kind of my testimony. And one of the neat things is I was able to connect with a couple people over the road through similar testimonies with camp ministry. And I love this picture. Abby and I met at Clear Lake Baptist Camp up in northern Iowa. And so I'm supposed to be lifeguarding. But Don is the guy that's the welder. And he's about 96. How old is he, Mom?
90.
No, he's in 90-something. I think we celebrated his 92nd birthday when we were there. I have a picture with him. But he's a welder on campus, and he came, and I remember I got the firm grip right on my shoulder, and he said, "I got a job for you." And I said, "Oh, sweet." I was like, welding. I was like, "This is awesome. I'm excited." And next thing you know, he's like, "Well, it involves hanging off the tower." And I was like, "Okay, I'm down." And then I did that. It was an all-day ordeal getting the pieces cut so that the kids don't die. And so if anybody's up there and you're climbing the tower and you see those welds, they need paint really bad because it was really windy that day. But I just really enjoyed that. So, and then I share where the school's at usually, and then I think we got the right one on. We've been switching slides. I don't have the right one here. I'm gonna pass. I'll come back. Oh, Philip, we got the wrong one. I've got like 50 of these presentations here. Let's grab another one here. I'll pull that one up at the end. What happened to it? Yep, here we go. Yeah, we're good. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. All right. So I started this. And I've critiqued it, and I've gone over the same exact message probably since, I haven't really changed. I've been in the same text the entire time, and Abby and I were counting it up, and it's been over 200 or some times that I've preached this, and so I try to keep it fresh. But I'm going to open up in a word of prayer, and we can get started. Dear Father, Lord, I just thank you and praise you for the opportunity we have to be in your house, Lord. I just want to praise you for just the your grace and mercy, and Lord, I just thank you for how you've worked in my life, and I just pray that my testimony of in my life, Lord, would be able to help others, Lord, and that you would be able to shine through just the things that we do, and I just guide and direct with just the things of the night, and Lord, if anything that people take away from tonight, I just pray that they would have a heart to serve you wherever that you put them. And to live a life of ministry wherever they go, and we thank you and praise you in your name. We pray, amen. So I put together life's plan, God's plan, or my plan. And a lot of times when you're in high school, the number one question you get is, "What are you going to go? Where are you going to go to college?" And I remember getting that question all the time. And I remember I had a million different things I wanted to do. I wanted to weld. I have so much stuff I wanted to do. And I was really struggling making a decision. But what I want to challenge each and every one of us is in every aspect and everything that we do to make sure that we're doing it according to God's plan. And in order to do that, we must have a relationship with God. But first, ask yourself, how can God get the most out of your life? I really never saw this. I don't know if it was just my blindness to it or this is what God had his timing. But how can God get the most out of your life? A lot of times, the world we live in, they're asking us, follow your heart or you do what's good for you and you do what's best for you. And we never ask ourselves, God, is this something you want me to do? Is this something that you would is pleasing to you? And so this is the number one challenge of tonight, and I just hope that you can just think about this. And as I go throughout the day, I've been really working on just having that as something I think about before I do something. God, is this something that is pleasing to you? And so I'm going to talk about three possible responses to God's will for your life, and I had a little bit of a difference, but it'll be good. And this isn't all the responses, but as I've been studying God's will, the more and more it's been coming clear to me that most importantly out of everything is to have a walk and a relationship with God. And my number one point that we have is we can choose to ignore His will, and when we choose to ignore His will, one of the things I looked it up in the dictionary is we deliberately choose to avoid something or deliberately choose to do the opposite. And so I'm going to read in James chapter 4, verse 13 through 14 here. Actually, I'll read the whole thing and then we can hash it over. But it says, where am I at? Let's see. This is a little bit different here. So, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And I love how this is talking about like the 12 tribes scattered abroad. They were kind of choosing whether or not where they were going to go, how much money they were going to make, and what they were going to do exactly. And they never stopped one time to ask, God, is this something you want me to do? And this second verse that really stood out to me was, you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. And I just love how, and my favorite time of hunting is in October or in November, when it's not too cold, where I can survive. But some of my favorite places to hunt is where I'm able to see the pond in the morning and the vapor coming up off the pond. And I love James so much because it's such a great, for me, as I love to imagine things with pictures and put it into practicality for myself. But imagine a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. And this is talking about those that are either choosing to ignore God or those that are downright don't know that they're ignoring God. Like when you have so much stuff in your life where you're so busy and you don't realize that you're ignoring God because all the good things of the world have come into your life and they have started to make you stumble and they have started to make you get distracted. And one of the things that my wife had pointed out to me as I was struggling with my own selfish way, when we started this job, I had literally felt like I had lost everything. I lost the house we were living in. I lost my hunting dog. I lost all of it. I had literally sold everything, all my toys, everything, and it was starting to really hurt. And I was trying to figure out what is going on. Where is everything going? My life is falling apart right before my eyes, and I didn't know at the time that God was going to be calling me to be traveling. And at the time, I was really bitter because I was losing it all. But if you turn to 1 John chapter 2, and my wife pointed this out to me, and I was so grateful for it. But it says in verse 15, it says, and the title of it is, do not love the world. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And this last verse, verse 17, is such an encouragement. Verse 17, it says, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And I know for me, I love being busy. I love having so much to do. It helps me feel like I'm accomplishing something, but it also helps me ignore what God is talking to me about. helps me put those things out. And one of the things that my wife and I did with the Nichols family when we were up with Tom, when we were dating, we went to a tractor pull. And I think from now on we're going to try to get to a tractor pull every summer. But I remember we were sitting there. This is the first tractor pull I've ever been to. And they're getting everything ready. They're getting it warmed up. And they just literally drop the throttle. Wide open, the front of the tractor comes up. And right before our eyes, the tractor explodes. I mean, the tractor explodes and pieces flying everywhere. And I was like, well, that was pretty cool. And you could ask Tom about that one. But it reminds me of what my life is all the time when I am wide open, full throttle. I get wore out. I get tired. When I'm trying to do the things by myself, I'm exhausted. And when I was up in during Thanksgiving, I was up at my grandparents' place, and I was so tired, but I wanted to go hunting. I was like, I'm back for a couple days. I'm going to go see if I can kill a deer. And I got out there, and I sat down, and I'm like, I can't even enjoy this. I was wrestling God so much in so many different areas that I wasn't even there for something I love to do. And I came back to the house, and Grandpa saw me, and he's like, what's up? What's going on? And I said, oh, nothing, I'm fine. You know, the typical, I'm okay, I don't need your help, or I'm good. And he said, no, what is wrong? And I said, and I basically said, well, I'm not happy with what's going on in my life. And he says, and I tell him, I said, I don't know what God wants for my life. I don't know what his will is for my life. I have so many things I love and so many things I want to do, but I don't know. And he said, let's sit down and we're going to go. And we sat down and we went through scripture till 2 o'clock in the morning. And that was so encouraging to me because he sat me down and he says, is there sin that you're harboring in your heart? Is there bitterness you're harboring in your heart? And I said, absolutely. He said, tomorrow morning I want you to go out and I want you to open up your heart and I want you to pray and just keep opening that and pouring your heart out to God and reestablishing that relationship. And I professed Christ to be my Savior when I was like 6 or 7. And I loved serving at camp. And what was so great about serving at camp is it was intentional. There was nothing else for me to do other than serve. And it was awesome. And but my second point is we can choose to avoid his will. And in verse chapter 4, let me get turned back here. In verse 17, it says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This verse has been really just turning in my head all the time. And I said, how many times do we try to cheat the system? How many times do I try to cheat the system? And in different areas where I know that, oh, I'll probably get away with this. But to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. One of my favorite books in the Bible is Jonah. And I had put this in, and I just love Jonah. I really enjoyed the study of Jonah because it really matched up with what I was going through, what my life was like. We know Jonah was spoken to by God to go share the gospel with the Ninevites. And I bet, you know, if we knew how evil the Ninevites are, we have an idea. We can grasp that they were one of the most evil people in the scriptures. But I'm sure if someone told me to go to Chicago and go downtown, and I've been into some of those streets, there's no way. I would stay a long ways away. But I'm sure I would have done the exact same thing as Jonah. He gets on a boat and he's going the opposite direction of where God has called him to go. And one of the things that stood out to me, Jonah was in the boat fast asleep. And this was me in my Christian walk. I was fast asleep in my Christian walk. I wasn't being intentional in my devotion life. I wasn't being intentional in my prayer life. And it was catching up to me. And my boat was my life. And it was getting torn apart. And what's so interesting is I think of it, you know, Jonah was spoken to by God, and I probably would have done the same. I probably would have been so wore out from running the opposite direction, I would have been exhausted. That's why I think Jonah was sleeping. Either that or his relationship with God was, he just didn't want to hear what was going on in his conscience. But what's really neat is we know the story of Jonah, and he gets thrown overboard. But what he had to do is he had to come to the point where he realized, you know what? This is happening because of me. And that's where I had to come to that conclusion. I had to realize that my world was getting turned upside down, not because God didn't like me, not because God didn't love me. The hardships that I was coming to were to grow me. And it says that verse, testing of your patience, or testing of your faith produces patience, and patience love. And that verse is so encouraging. But that's what I think. God has done that in my life. But Jonah gets swallowed by the big fish. And it talks about how gruesome it was as he's getting turned and getting, basically, I can imagine that it was probably the most disgustingest thing in the world. And I would not want to go through what he did. And he's down there, but he had time to think. God put him in a situation where it pulled him away from everything. And got him, so he was all by himself. And he could just sit there and just suffer a little bit. And then finally he came to the conclusion that he needed to confess sin in his life and that he needed to give over his life to God because he knew who God was. He proclaimed that God was a follower of Jesus Christ and he feared the Lord. But what's super cool is my third point, is we can choose to pursue his will for our lives. And Jonah, after he got right with God and got his heart where it needed to be, and that's really neat, the process of sanctification really happened fast for Jonah. So he gets spit out on land, and he looks out, and there's the city he's got to go to right away. He's like, okay, I got to do this. He goes, and he shares a harsh gospel message because he's still full of fear, because he hasn't fully given his life to the Lord and fully put his trust and faith and knowing that that God is going to protect him and take care of him. So he comes out of the city, and what is he doing? He's back to his own selfish way, he's just grumbling and complaining. And God says that I am a merciful and he's an awesome God. And you know me. And you know, if they have a true heart change, that I will not wipe them off the face of the earth. And so what's really neat to me is, I just read verse 15 here in James. It says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And I love the song when we're at camp. One of my favorite songs is the alabaster jar, where I am the clay and he's the how's that go? Somebody know? Somebody catch? I'm the clay and he's the potter. That's what it is. And we are supposed to be moldable. I am a very stubborn person and I don't want to move. Nobody's going to move me and nobody's going to mold me. I have to do it myself. And that is something that is it's okay in a way. As long as you don't let your stubbornness get in the way and you're willing to be seeking and intentional in your walk with God and wanting to change and wanting to grow and to be moldable. I'm missing one of my other points here, but it says what are we supposed to do with this? What are we supposed to do with when we're called to do this, and when we know that we're supposed to follow after him and have an intentional relationship? James chapter 1 verse 22 says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing a natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and forgets what manner of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And I love how it kind of gives us a reminder and then an encouragement. God will bless us if we intentionally walk with him and be a doer of what he has called us to do. And something that I think Faith is doing a really good job, the school is doing a really good job at, is instilling discipleship in and amongst the students, and also wanting to equip students to be in ministry wherever they are at, an intentional ministry, where you are a missionary in a welding shop. You're a missionary in a school. You are a missionary anywhere. And I think for me, a lot of it was because I didn't have my walk where it needed to be with the Lord, and I wasn't intentional, and I was just floating through. And I was going down a path where I wasn't being used. I didn't have the relationship that I needed to be. And so that's a really good reminder for us. And I was building post frame buildings for not quite 2 years, and a couple really, really neat things happened while I was doing the job, and it's I'm very grateful that God took me out of that and put me where I'm at now. But I remember one day I was on top of a barn. It was probably 90 degrees out, and we had a guy come from a temp agency that was really, really big dude. And we were up on top of the roof, and he's baking, like he's white and he's baking. So we took a break for him just to get him in the shade and make sure he didn't die. We started talking, and he asked, and he's like, "So you don't cuss and swear?" I said, "No, I don't." And I just kind of went back to eating my food. And then he kept asking questions. And I'm like, man, I need to be like this guy and the other way around, where I should have been asking him questions. But he asked me, he's like, so you're a Christian? I said, yes, I am. And I asked him, so do you believe in God? And I kind of asked that question. And he said, well, I did. And I actually met two guys within almost 2 months span that had the same exact kind of testimony. And he went on to tell me, he says, I was raised in a Christian home. I went to a Baptist church. And he said, my parents are awesome Christians. And he says, but now that I'm working with these electricians doing different things, and they're asking me questions about God and stuff, and I don't have answers to it, I don't even believe that the God that I accepted as my personal Savior is even real. And I was like, what? Are you serious? You don't believe that He's real? You don't even believe that He exists? And the devil had completely been using those guys in the industry. And I mean, I worked with them every day, or about every day. And they hated God in every way. And so this started really instilling in me the importance of getting a biblical education. You don't have to go to Faith. You don't have to go to a Bible college. You can do it yourself if you really, really want it. If you really, but I would highly recommend either meeting with pastor, meeting with an elder in the church. I'm talking to just some of the guys and some of the younger ones tonight. And just to know the Word so well that you can answer questions, because there are so many people that need answers, and it's a ministry right there. And so if you feel God calling you to farm, if you feel God calling you to be an electrician, be a cop and a security guy, that's pretty cool. And God can use you, but you have to have the intentionality that this is what I want to do, and that is to serve God first and work second. And that's something that God has really worked on my heart. So, there it is. And then I will switch over to the other slide here, and I can give you guys some updates on the school and whatnot. My wife usually does all the technology, so she probably has a slide in amongst all these somewhere. Philip, what did I push to enlarge this? This button? This button? Did that work? Okay, good. I'm going to skip ahead through because you guys already seen this. I put this up because we're trying to compete with Bob Jones, you know, in Pensacola, and they're down there on the ocean. And I'm like, well, you see, we got big deer and we like to run four-wheelers. And everybody looks at me like, huh? I'll tell you right now, there's not very many churches that are, not very many kids out there that enjoy doing stuff like that and hunting and fishing and outdoorsy stuff. A lot of them enjoy just going and sitting on the beach. But Then I put up Field of Dreams, and a lot of my high school classmates actually went to that, and they sent me this picture, the reenactment that they did up there. And I got a whole bunch of them, but I thought it was just beautiful, and that's my claim to fame. I was got a movie. We got one movie, and it was made right there. So that's why I always add all that. And then I put in the city so that people are, ooh, they actually there's something other than cornfields. And I'm like, yeah, there is. And then what's really cool, this is Maranatha Baptist Church that Abby and I go to, and I had been going to, and I went there, started going there when I was at DMAC in college, and then we just kept going there because we stayed within the area, and it's a great church. But one of my favorite times of the entire week was Wednesday night. I would go to Wednesday night, and I would be the only guy or the only college kid there, or there was just all old guys. And it was really really encouraging for me, and it was great because they would encourage me, but they'd also give me a kick in the right direction, and so it was just great. Even though I wasn't a member at the time, I was just attending. They were there, and they poured into me. But lots of great churches, and I'm sure some of you know that there's lots of great college ministries, and to serve. And also college ministries to also, like, they have fun things. They do fun things. And I know that's crazy, but for opportunities, a lot of stuff is changing at the school, but we have just some of the stuff that's normal. We have the 1-year, 2-year, 4-year degrees, online classes, and high school dual enrollment. So a lot of people in public school are doing this kind of stuff with secular colleges, so they're getting their general credits done. And I think it's like lot cheaper. I've got a paper somewhere for what it actually costs for if you're interested in doing some while your guys are in school. Regionally, nationally accredited. What's kind of neat is Abby's brother did the Ariba program. He went down to Peru, South America, and was with the Stillwells. Is it the Stillwells that are in Peru? Yes, he was with the Stillwells down in Peru. And so a lot of my friends I worked with at camp went down there, and Kyle England, one of my friends that I worked with maintenance with at camp, actually got bit by a snake and almost died down there. And it's the Wild West down there. And there you go. And but it was a great opportunity because it showed him if God was calling him to missions, he wanted to make sure to know if that's what God was calling him into, and if not, he can go from there. But it was a great little internship, or they even did that. I think he did that through his 11 months throughout with his 4-year degree. Lots of summer camps, lots of summer internships. A lot of the degrees all have to require internships, or they're starting to do that. 1-year certificate has got your biblical worldview, and that's going to have. You're going to do your general credits if you don't have that done, and you're going to do apologetics. I'm trying to think. But I highly recommend to do a 2-year program, even if you're not going to do 2 years. Always put in for 2. You get a lot more federal money, a lot more grants to pay for the first year. And so that's just kind of my little 2 cents that I've always told people that are kind of wondering financially about school and stuff. Office admin. If any of the girls are like, yeah, I want to work in an office or something someday, they do have one of the best office admin programs out of any school. It's really cool to see people come out of there and know their stuff. And my wife really wishes she would have done it when she was going to school. But now she's doing all the office, the administration stuff with this job. She's scheduling and all that. She's like, man, I wish I would have had that. And what's really cool for teacher education, Abby and I have gone to, and now I never really thought of this because we don't really have a Christian school down here, and I mean there's some connections, but in a lot of areas there's a lot more Christian schools, and they're big. I mean they're really big. That's really kind of blew my mind, and so we started going to these Christian schools, and almost every single one of them is in desperate need of teachers, and almost every one of them has grown 24% this year. And so that's a prayer request too, because we've gone into some where they've written like, Sam, you're here, you got all 4 classes, and I'm like, what? I mean, preschool? Yep, because they're like they're just so desperate, They're looking for help, and this is in the Christian school setting. Now, it's really neat because a lot of the public schools are really going downhill fast, and a lot of public school kids are getting pushed into these Christian schools, and it's like, and a lot of them are just open arms, and it's, they've seen some crazy, awesome, they've seen some salvations, and it has been cool to see that. And it's also been a challenge too that God has put there too. But I highly recommend, if you feel God calling you into being a teacher, definitely look into it. At Faith, they said they had a waiting list of over 100 and something. That basically, you name your state, you could go to any school you'd want to. We have music and pastoral studies. Organizational leadership. Levi, you should come up and talk about this and then give your little presentation. I think it's super cool. I've gotten to sit down with Jared Baldwin a couple times. He's no longer going to be doing it, but it's kind of more of my style of teaching and my style of learning, where you kind of get people to come in and do seminars. You get people to do the stuff you learn. You basically write what you learn and what you take out of the book. I like that. And if you're interested in business, it's a great... Would you say it's an overall a class for, if you're not quite sure what you want to do, it's great for all of those things. But it is a four-year degree. Biblical counseling at Faith is only a two-year program. So some people do that as their minor within their four-year. But I tell people, compared to some places, I think it's probably, I mean, when Dr. Newman was there, it definitely qualified almost a four-year program because it was so good. Mr. Keck's doing really, really well. Are you taking any counseling?
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, man, you should just come up here and speak. There's some of the sports stuff. We don't have track and cross country on here. I don't know how many of the track people this spring qualified for nationals, but a lot of them did. The girls won the nationals was 2 years ago when you were a freshman. Did they win? Was that yet?
That was last.
Think about it. I don't remember.
Yeah,
so they're really doing well, and then they placed really well, and they're getting to compete against a lot of really good stuff. So, music, lots of music opportunities. The drama is starting to become a new thing. I don't know if any of you had known, but Faith started the drama. When did Jared start it? Last year. Yeah, so he started it last year. The guy that heads up organizational leadership, one of the gals that was in organizational leadership. Wanted to become a program in drama. Wanted to do that, so they started it for her, I think. And they did Pride and Prejudice like a couple weeks ago, and it was really full. So my wife usually does this part, so you just have to look at some pictures. No, I'm just kidding. But what's really neat is Abby's testimony, and she gets to share about what God has done in her life at the school I pushed something again. In the 2.5 years that she attended, she started with education and then transferred to a biblical studies program because she realized that the people that were in education were really, really passionate about it. And she's like, I don't know if I could do this. So, and she's so glad because for the girls that are here, you could talk to Abby about it. But women's ministry classes. Is what she started taking a lot more of, and she started doing some. She minored in counseling as well, so she's got counseling and women's ministry. So it's really neat to see that she's God's really given her a heart to use the horses and start. Hopefully, Lord willing, she'll be able to start a college ministry for faith students that have horses that can't bring them. And so we're looking forward to seeing what God does there. And there's some more pictures of the dorm. You can see Abby's right there. And there's Molly. And so that was the same. That was the year that Abby and Molly were actually going to college together. And then Abby's made some awesome friends. We've gotten to see all of her friends basically since we hit the road. It's really cool just to see where they've all gone. And like I said, they're all teachers now. And we got one of them's in Minnesota. One of them's in down in Kansas City. And the other one's in New York. Out in the back country of New York, which was really, really cool. So I have to ask Abby about all these things. She'd love to answer some questions and share about her time at Faith for sure. And she ran cross country and track And she did really, really, really well. And she loved it. And she always talks about just the time, the difference between, she competed, she was a really, really good, she's not here so I can talk about this. So she was a really good swimmer, and she placed really, really well in swimming, and she's gifted in that area, but she wanted to go to faith, but she wanted to stay active and involved in sports, so she ran cross country and track. And one of the things she said that was so neat is that the different mindset of when you're going to a public school, it's just all kind of focused on yourself and how good you can do. But instead, that they're able to have, because they are competing against some non-Christian schools as well, depending on the sport and things. So, but to have a ministry-focused time there running and to take the focus off yourself, it was really, really neat to hear her time about that. So you guys, more than welcome. You must have been at Faith, so that's not going to matter. Scholarship Weekend, we have it in the spring and in the fall. And that's if you're interested in getting institutional aid to bring that, to bring it down. It's they upped the institutional aid this year by a couple $1,000s more per student that gets it. I think they made it harder to get, but it's definitely increased this year. And there's Pride and Prejudice. But summer camps, if anybody's interested in doing sports camps, there's soccer, volleyball. I'm spacing out. Can't remember what else they're doing. I think they're doing all, and basketball for sure. They're bringing in, this year they're bringing in coaches from all over. I think they're going to try to bring in coaches from all over, you know, that are really good, and to bring in some better, not better, but just different outlooks on different things. So. And music camp, Philip, you should come up here and talk about music camp. But that's coming up in June, at the end of June. So it's a great opportunity. You can ask Philip all about it. Jumpstart, so if you're wanting to get credits for cheap, Philip's doing it. And he said it was $100. And that's, they're doing that this year alone. And that pays for your housing while you're there and the food. They're going to supply that as well. And you can get some credits knocked out. I think they're doing apologetics with Carl Kirby. They're doing history, law, and poetry, and they're doing, I think they've got one more. I can't remember what it is. But some of the they're just really good to get out of the way. And it's the cheapest it'll ever be until next year is going to go up. So Faith Fest, so if anybody wants to go to Faith Fest, that's in September, so you got a little bit of time. That's a ton of fun. And that is it. So thanks, guys, for letting me speak, and Dad, I'll let you, you want to wrap it up and end it? I'll unplug this.
Does anybody have questions for Sam?
Yeah, any questions? Like, trust me, I've heard some crazy questions.
What were those questions?
I've learned not to ask that. Anybody got any questions? usually I tell people about... tell them the questions that most people have. Like, you know, a lot of people are interested in if they, you know, supply food and housing and what that dorms are like. The dorms are probably the best dorms that any Christian college right now, because we literally just updated all the dorms this last summer, and they're pretty nice. How are they, Levi? They're pretty nice? Spacious, yeah. And so you can go to some, and they're pretty rough right now. But try to think of any other things. Any other questions? Spacing out. I was really shocked at the graduation rate is like 67 or 70-something percent. And what's really neat is are you out of class by noon? I always tell people they're out of class by noon or 1 o'clock, depending on how much they have. So you can go work and pay for schooling fairly well too. So, but anybody got questions? Brian, you're looking at me like, yeah, I got questions. What are you doing?
I would say graduation rate.
I think so. Yeah, and then I think that's an average on everything. But I was gonna say, that reminded me of
something.
It does, because some of them don't make it through that. So yeah, I'm sure it counts. And it's not, I mean, literally, if you want to go there and you want to graduate, it's not too bad. I've been doing online. I've been really, 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 I was a little nervous because I don't like school and I'm not really talented in writing papers and things like that. But it's been been manageable for sure, but I'm doing one class at a time, so I'm sure it's a lot more when you're doing 18 credits or something. But I was going to say, they said it's like 76% are graduating debt-free now, which is really, I kind of was kind of surprised. And they said, well, the other percent are those that are so involved in sports or in music that they don't work a job. So basically, if you work a job, you can get through school, no problem. So, but, yeah.
Brian,
down in Sheraton? Yeah, I've been
at
Faith. Oh, man.
See, it is one of the only good sports.
Right, right. that'd be awesome. They did start I don't know if they still have it, but I know a couple of guys that I follow that are still at Faith are doing some powerlifting. They got all the athletic equipment's fairly new in the last year. I don't know. In the last year or so. So there's a lot of club stuff that they do and different things. So that means it's good. Quiet's good. It means I answered all of everybody's questions. So, all right. Oh, yeah. I ran to Atlantic today and picked up root beer floats for everybody. Well, I mean, I picked up ice cream and root beer. I think I did buy Burt, and so there's like 23 grams of caffeine. So the little ones, you don't get that. Sorry. Johnny says, you know that's got caffeine in it, right? Oh, okay. So I picked up some A&W as well. So, but I'm gonna close in prayer, and then we can head down. Dear Father, Lord, I just thank you just for how you work in our lives and how you just direct us, and that your plan is perfect. And Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us here tonight, Lord, that we would have a heart that wants to be intentional wherever we're at to serve you and not just live life and enjoy the amazing things that you have created, but also to use those things to share the gospel to those we're coming in contact with. And Lord, I just that's where my heart is, and I just pray that that we can all have just the want to serve you and to live for you. And I just thank you and praise you for all that you've done. In your name we pray. Amen.